Please listen to the reading of the word. Psalms 118, verses 20 through 29. This is the gate of the Lord. Only the righteous can come in. I praise you, Lord, because you heard me, because you gave me victory. The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is. This is the day of the Lord's victory. Let us be happy. Let us celebrate. Save us, Lord. Save us. Give us success, O Lord. May God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. From the temple of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God. He has been good to us. With branches in your hands, start the festival and march around the altar. You are my God, and I give you thanks. I will proclaim your greatness. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good, and his love is eternal. And from Revelations 1, 4 through 8. From John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace be yours from God, who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits in front of his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first to be raised from death, and who is also the ruler of the kings of the world. He loves us, and by his sacrificial death, he has freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To Jesus Christ be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming on the clouds. Everyone will see him, including those who pierced him. All the peoples on earth will mourn over him. So shall it be. I am the first and the last, says the Lord Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come.
Listen now for the word of God as we find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you, he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Thomas said to them, unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me? In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. Here in the readings from the Word of God, and may the Lord add his blessing to this reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, bless these words. Use them for the enlightenment, the insight of our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Use us for the glory of your kingdom and of your risen Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have today the case of an old case. The police call it a cold case. This is the case of the three locked rooms. The corpse of an executed criminal appears to have been removed from his sealed tomb. His friends say that he appeared to them alive in a room that they had carefully locked. And whatever happened seems to have released them from the despair that his death brought about. This case took place 2,000 years ago, and it is a cold case. No one has solved it to everyone's satisfaction. But it is far from cold in the sense of being dead. Controversy abounds. So we have called upon the detective par excellence, Sherlock Holmes, to come and try to solve this case for us, the case of the three locked room.
Well, Watson, I don't mind telling you I seem finally to have met a challenge that is truly worthy of my skills. Perhaps if I succeed in this, you will be able to record my unchanged case, my strangest case, a baffling unmurder.
Good heavens, Holmes. Surely you've solved many puzzling murders. Can this one possibly be more obscure than the case of the...
Please pay attention, Watson. I said it appears to be an unmurder. The body has disappeared. And to make it more difficult, we must begin our investigation with a locked room mystery.
Ah, yes. A classic. Like the adventure of the speckled band. The young woman was found dead in a room with the doors and windows locked from the inside.
That was indeed puzzling, but this situation here is quite different. Part of the problem, as I have said, is that there was no body to be found, and the locked room was unlocked.
But...
Permit me to explain. We are concerned here with one Jesus of Nazareth, a man who had been accused of crimes, condemned to death, and executed. The death was certified by authorities. The body was placed in a sealed and guarded tomb, but investigation has shown that the body is no longer there and is nowhere to be found.
Well, clearly the body was stolen. He must have had accomplices.
No, so you would think, but the women who found the tomb empty claim that they had given no thought to having the stone pulled away from the entrance. And there is a reason to believe that the body left the tomb while it was still sealed.
But Holmes, that is preposterous. How could such a thing happen?
You know my methods, Watson. As you recorded my words in your account of that earlier case that you called the sign of the four, when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth.
But Holmes, surely a corpse vanishing from a sealed tomb is impossible. The laws of nature forbid it. Such a thing would overthrow all common sense.
Oh, perhaps so. Yes, that is merely the beginning, Watson. That is only the first and the of the locked rooms with which we must contend. Permit me to continue.
Good heavens! Now, do we have another corpse in a room locked from the inside?
No, Watson. The one within the whom we have to do more subtle than is more subtle than that. This room was indeed locked from the inside, but within it were 10 living, terrified men who had been accomplices to the man who was executed. We know that his death had left them completely disillusioned and deathly afraid that their own arrest and executions were imminent.
They had good reasons to be afraid and to lock the doors.
But they claim that this Jesus appeared to them there even though the doors were locked, and that they say that he spoke and with them, and that they identified him.
It could only have been a dream, wish fulfillment, an hallucination of some sort.
Good old Watson, that common sense medicine man. I'm afraid it won't do that too easy. It won't be that easy. They claim that they saw the wounds resulting from the execution, and a mass hallucination of 10 men would be extremely unlikely.
Then there had to be a secret entrance, some hidden passage by which an impostor came and imposed himself on them.
I have made a thorough investigation and have found no such thing.
Good heavens, Holmes, this is incredible. Am I to believe that a dead man disappeared from a sealed tomb and appeared alive in another locked room? He would have had to be able to overcome the limitations of space and matter.
Precisely.
But Holmes, there is a much simpler explanation. The women were hysterical. The accomplices lied.
Watson, I'm afraid that this is a conceit of our sex, that women are more likely to be fearful than uncertain than men, and to become hysterical upon the slightest provocations. These women steeled themselves to walk through the darkness to the tomb when all the men were afraid to show themselves. And the accomplices, as I have told you, were disillusioned and terrified. They ran away from Jesus when Jesus was arrested. Sue Bono. What did they have to gain by making up such a story? They would have only had subjected themselves to new dangers by doing so. But you have not heard the third part of the puzzle. There was yet another third locked room.
This is too much. Now do we have a corpse in a room locked from the inside?
No, Watson. If I were faced only with a physical evidence problem, I would, in this case, not be so challenging. What has made the greatest scientific detective of all time is not merely my perceptive of physical clues and their significance, but my knowledge of how people think, and like the mystery of the third, and that is the mystery of the third locked room. As I have explained, Jesus' followers had deserted and denied him, and some of them saw him die. They had lost faith in his cause and were afraid for their own lives. They were locked up within themselves as if a psychological prison. It was a psychological prison. These men were hopeless. Can you imagine them suddenly hatching a plot and making up a preposterous story and giving it out to the public to proclaim in defiance of the authorities? This dead man was alive and was the nation's rightful king. I think not. No, Watson, I'm afraid the conclusion is inescapable. Someone broke into their locked rooms.
Well, forgive my slowness, Holmes. I'm afraid I don't understand.
Surely, Watson, you have known from your medical practice that the guilt, fear, and anxiety can paralyze a person. Those followers of Jesus were in such a state. Their world had been shattered, and they had crawled into a corner to hide, like wounded dogs. What reached them from there? What gave them courage to start announcing that this Jesus, who was executed and apparently failed in his task, had finally, in fact, succeeded?
Perhaps it was some kind of form of mind over matter, Holmes. Maybe it was a dramatic instance of positive thinking.
Permit me to say that you have not yet gazed the full scope of the problem, Watson. Those men had no perceptive thoughts. Their minds had been beaten down, and I remind you that there was three sealed rooms: the tomb of Jesus, the room where his accomplices had gathered, and the psychological prisons. Can that be a coincidence?
Good heavens, Holmes. Do you mean?
Yes, Watson. The dead man was alive, and there is perhaps some reason to believe that he is still alive. For I have received reports of the hopeless people, beaten down of life, for whom hope has been restored and whose lives are being changed. Locked rooms are still being opened.
But Holmes, amazing as this is, permit me to point out that you have not explained these mysteries. How could the man once dead be alive? How could he have penetrated solid walls to appear to his accomplices? And how could their thoughts and beliefs have been so profoundly changed?
Yes, Watson, those mysteries remain. I confess that I have not yet solved them. But there is a greater, a deeper mystery. Since all of this happened, we must ask, who is this Jesus?
Thank you, Mr. Holmes and Dr. Watson. That is indeed the question. Who is this Jesus? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.